clear and concise. This is the Jason Burmis Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
It's time to talk Trump, RFK Jr., and Dark Brandon. Now, in the last couple of days, which is a rare occasion in this very, very odd 2024 presidential election year, all three of them have kind of been out in the public arena. Now, Donnie T, obviously not on the campaign trail, instead in the courtroom. And the really odd thing about the courtroom is that we kind of have to take certain media outlets' words for what's going on in the courtroom because they're not airing it. So, for instance, you know, some of the headlines I've seen over the past couple of days is Trump is falling asleep inside the courtroom. I mean, maybe he's there on like an eight hours a day on a charge that's not real, that he knows isn't real. I could see myself dozing off. Now, the thing is, I don't know, because the guy is high energy and I can't trust the media. Again, post-truth world stuff. Now, let's take it to today and some of the latest and greatest, because instead of getting 90 minutes of Trump, because think about this, in 2016, in 2020, at the same, you'd get at least an hour, maybe 2 hours at a rally at this point, 1,000%. Now, what do we get? We get 7-minute sound bites at best. Most of the time, he doesn't even take questions from anybody. And they're about Letitia James and the show trial going on in New York. And by the way, since we are a news show, I should let everybody know that they did rule that that $175 million bond is A-OK. I mean, those people are fighting tooth and nail to take it all away from that guy. I want people to understand. I don't think this is a show. There's no popcorn. There's no trusting plans, QAnon nonsense. I think it's very apparent, and it better start being to more people in the reality zone. They're going to convict Donald Trump of actual crimes and try to put him in jail so he cannot run for the president of the United States. Been saying it from the beginning. Watch Trump walk out. Just what everybody who doubts me, go watch. I mean, it's not winning. It's not MAGA Trump. He's got a furrowed brow like I've never seen. And look, they're trying to beat him into submission. Kudos to him for trying. We'll see where it goes from here. And that brings me to RFK Jr. So one of the clips I saw going around, I've not seen the larger scale interview, but Glenn Beck did a sit down recently with RFK Jr. Now, let's talk about appearances and perceptions, because that's also very, very important. First of all, Glenn Beck asked him about guns. And basically, RFK Jr. said, look, I'm not taking anybody's guns. There's a gun culture here. Obviously, I used to be averse to guns. They took my father, they took my uncle, etc. Gave a very, very good answer. And I'm sorry, I get it. MAGA is real. Donald Trump has more fervent support than I've ever seen in any political character. He can't press 155 pounds with his shirt off, looking like a jacked son of a gun, perception versus reality. Now, I also see the media starting to talk more and more about RFK Jr. siphoning votes away from Trump. I think that's also a very legitimate concern. As somebody who has not decided yet, that's actually a real thing. And now we go to the corruption of our voting system, harvesting, mail-in ballots, the machines that have never been fixed. And right now, we are in a very odd place where the only thing that we might have that would be like, hey, maybe we need to audit this, are exit polls. And again, if you watch this week, they're now trying to digitize exit polls. So, you know, again, we've been talking about a paper ballot before, right? One person, one vote, little signature action. Hey, they voted, the whole nine. We actually get something similar in exit polls. They don't even want that anymore. So we're in the post-truth world, baby, and people better buckle up, because 2024 is getting warmed up. Why don't you warm it up at this weekend Truth Festival? If You would like to see your favorite freedom fighters on one stage across one weekend, then listen up. The Weekend Truth Festival will feature speakers such as Katie Hopkins, Kate Shemarani, Dolores Cahill, Matt Letizier, Mark Atwood, David Clues, Allegedly Dave, Sovereign Pete, and many others. All of this across one weekend on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of May in Workington near Lake District in the UK. All you need to bring is a tent, a sleeping bag, and some good vibes. Again, we love the good vibes here at TNT. As food stalls, workshops, bushcraft, and amenities will be provided on site. For more information and how to find out to reserve your place at the festival, please visit weekendtruthfestival.co.uk, weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. But don't hang around, because only a limited number of places are still available. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back bringing the ruckus after this.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I've been in the car all day and I got to listen.
Can't get enough of it.
You guys are doing a great job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On Monday, President Joe Biden celebrated Earth Day by announcing that $7 billion in grants would be made available for residential solar energy projects that will impact nearly 1 million households in low-income and disadvantaged communities. Yeah, okay. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT News producer Adam Clark, bringing the ruckus. What do you got for us?
Thanks, Jason. Well, to be fair, the reports are, you know, quoting the Biden administration or El Presidente himself as saying that this is going to benefit these low-income and disadvantaged communities. So that's right, because who can't benefit from unreliable energy, right? Wow, this is probably no big deal. Oh, well, actually, it is a big deal. At least that's what the president said. He literally said, quote, it's a big deal, end quote, of this new plan. This is, you know, we got to go green for Earth Day. We got to go green to save the planet. But in this case, green means green, like the green stuff, money, lots of it. And some people just scored rather nicely. About 60 applicants have been chosen to be awarded parts of this $7 billion worth of grant awards. This is a program called Solar for All. It's a new program, and it's part of, you guessed it, the Inflation Reduction Act. Yep. Mr. Biden said, quote, millions of families will save over $400 a year in utility bills. It will also create 200,000 good-paying and union jobs for over 5 years, end quote. It's good for jobs, don't you know? The 60 chosen applications here included 49 state-level awards, 6 awards to tribes, 5 multi-state awards, all this according to the Environmental Protection Agency. This was an announcement made by the president during a speech that he gave at Prince William Forest Park. This was created by Democratic President Franklin D. Roosevelt's Civilian Conservation Corps, which was a New Deal program, interestingly enough. This was during the president's visit to Triangle, Virginia. Speaking at the event, we also had Senator Bernie Sanders. He said the investment will help Americans save more than $8.7 billion in electric bills in total over the lifetime of the solar panels. Mr. Sanders said that Americans can, quote, cut their electric bills by 70% to 90% depending on solar exposure, end quote. I can't do my Bernie Sanders impression anymore, apparently. He said, quote, the problem is that in order to get those annual savings, you need to make an initial investment. And depending on the size of your home and where you live, that investment in solar panels may be $10,000 to $20,000, which is a lot of money if you're an average American. That is where the Solar for All program comes in, end quote. Mr. Biden, El Presidente, he launched the American Climate Corps. This is an initiative which is modeled after the aforementioned President Roosevelt's program, which aims to hire more than 20,000 young Americans to undertake climate-related actions, according to the White House. Not exactly sure what that is. During his speech, President Biden announced the opening of 2,000 job positions through the organization's newly launched website. Recently, the president also announced a series of conservation actions, including protecting more than 13 million acres in the Western Arctic. John Podesta, who doesn't love him, senior advisor to the president for international climate policy, said in a statement on April 19th, quote, today's historic actions to protect lands and waters in the Western Arctic will ensure continued substance use by Alaska Native communities while conserving these special places for future generations. With these new announcements, the Biden-Harris administration has now protected more than 41 million acres of lands and waters across the country, leaving a huge mark on the history of American conservation, end quote. And then back to the president. During his speech, he highlighted his administration's climate initiative, saying, quote, folks, despite the overwhelming devastation in red and blue states, there are still those who deny the climate is in crisis. My MAGA Republican friends don't seem to think it's in crisis, end quote. I'm going to call him out right there, Jason. I don't believe for a second that Biden has any MAGA Republican friends. But anyways, he said in his proclamation for Earth Day issued on April 19th, quote, this work has never been more urgent. Climate change is the existential crisis of our time. No one can deny its impacts and staggering costs anymore. End quote. Well, yeah, I'm confused because I thought that the biggest existential crisis of our time was the pandemic, and then it was Donald Trump, and then it's the people who support Donald Trump, and now it's climate crisis again. I just lose track of these things. I don't know what to be afraid of anymore, Jason, but what say you, my friend?
So much to say, so much to say. Let's start with Earth Day. What a crock. You know, that's something that infiltrated my generation. Not saying pollute things, but it's very Gaia, and it's led to this green movement that is about control, and it has nothing to do with the best interest in nature. For instance, let's talk about solar. I'm all for solar in the fact that it is something we can harness, and on some levels it can work. Isn't it odd that we still don't have any commercially available products that are within reason, economic reason, to utilize them after how many decades of this technology being out there? And by the way, who does have the one commercial product that did not deliver on what was promised? I'll give you a hint. It's the old Musker-Doo with his power wall. So again, even when the stuff can be utilized on a commercial level and maybe let you empower, it isn't really being put forth by anything but a military industrial complex frontman. That's a big problem. Now, you mentioned some of my favorite people alongside of Joe Biden. John Podesta, one of them. I'm sure he's very concerned about parties on farms in hot tubs with children as entertainment more than the climate, but he won't let you know about that. And then you forgot to mention AOC was also side by side with Joey B as he espoused this climate crisis that, again, they're so concerned about that they're releasing carbon on an extreme level via what? Bombs across the world that are ours via Lockheed Martin and others. They never talk about that. That's not on the menu, folks. So there's so many outward contradictions. And even with solar, I mean, I'll just say this. Maybe we could harness a little bit more sunlight if you weren't spraying the skies via solar radiation management and geoengineering programs that I'm a lunatic for talking about. Like, again, we're in the post-truth world. And to buy into anything, there's a reason this wasn't done in front of the public, right? This is Earth Day. It's an election year. AOC is supposed to be, you know, the cat's pajamas to the Democratic Party. Bernie's supposed to have the Bernie bro base. Normally, you would think this is the kind of event that you could draw tens of thousands of people to. Not when you're in war in the Middle East, and not when you're a not popular, not 81 million vote getting dementia patient. That's all I'm going to say, Adam. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's times like this that I like to remind folks where Earth Day came from. I mean, allegedly, supposedly, you can do your own research. The person who founded this concept of an Earth Day, one Ira Einhorn, who just died in prison 4 years ago, was actually a convicted murderer. He killed his girlfriend and composted her. So that's where these things come from. Just so you know, I thought that was a fun bit of information to share with everyone, Jason. I too used to like to celebrate Earth Day. I actually, in my school, true story, in I think it was in seventh grade, I started my school's Earth Day club. Excuse. So we were all about that, thanks to little old me. So now I don't know if they still have that program, but if they do, I started it.
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, you look at Earth Day, you look at the rise of Captain Planet, and I'm blaming the climate crisis and bad cartoons on your cough right now. That's what we're going to do. And that makes just about as much sense as Joe Biden at this event, or us buying into a system of command and control. And again, it's not just the United States of America. This is a very, very globalized thing. Just earlier in the week, as we're going to talk about in the next segment, the United Nations was talking about solar power. Because again, there's a global rollout for this funding, this agenda, which is not to empower humanity, but enslave it through this manufactured scarcity of the abundant resources that we actually have. And yes, one of those abundant resources is the sun. But if you think they're going to let you have a product that actually empowers you, I've got a bridge to sell you. And it was just knocked down in Baltimore. Adam, we will see you in the next hour. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to be talking about the United Nations. Courtney Turner is joining us. You're not going to want to miss it. More TNT Radio Live after this.
TNT's Joseph Arthur.
There was already lines being drawn in the sand because there was people resisting every step of the way. I was one of them. I was resisting the mask and I was like questioning that openly on social media, and old friends were going like, you know, calling me an idiot and all this other stuff.
The data coming out of Israel showing that there was basically no efficacy with this vaccine with the Delta variant. And so we knew what was coming. And at that point, we thought that the health agencies were actually going to try to be honest with the public and say, okay, the vaccines actually didn't work. We've got this new variant, you know, and try to maneuver out of it, which would then open up the door a little bit for the mainstream to go, oh, there's people being harmed. We've got some problems here. Okay, let's start talking about this. But instead, what they did is they doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down on their narrative, as you saw, and they fueled this all-out war against the people like yourself who were awake. They saw the BS coming from a mile away, and they were just asking questions.
Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
Caution. You are about to hear
today's news talk and the voice of freedom.
That's what this country's all about.
TNT Radio.
We are now joined by independent journalist, researcher, and podcaster Courtney Turner. Last week, we talked a lot about artificial intelligence and the United Nations agenda. Today, we're going to expand on that as they have now just unanimously passed their first resolution on promoting safe, secure, and trustworthy AI. Now, this was driven by the United States because it's always our military industrial complex that seems to write up the plans. We already had something similar passed via the European Union. So this really is the first couple steps in the progression to kind of that end game we started talking about last week, Courtney.
Yeah. So the Biden administration did an executive order that basically models the UN. And as you said, yeah, it seems like we're always, our military industrial complex is the one driving the ship. It reminds me a lot of, I was following what was going on with the NACs. And, you know, the UN created this, they had a white paper document, the SEEA ecosystem accounting that was in 2012. And this was to create like natural capital accounting. And then last year, January of 2023, the Biden administration adopted the same thing, but for the United States. So, yeah, it seems like it's a very similar kind of thing.
So On top of that, they're starting to use the digital lingo, right? The United Nations has been around for some time. Now they're giving speeches and talking about UN 2.0. And I got to tell you, I didn't love UN 1.0. I can't imagine that I'm going to be buying into the sequel, especially when, again, it's promoting these things like the sustainable development goals. For instance, when we're talking about this trustworthy AI, first of all, AI in any type of consolidated authoritarian situation, I'm all out on. I want open source because it's getting harder and harder to distinguish between what is computer generated and what is reality, yet they want a monopoly on that. But then they also talk about equitable distribution constantly. You know, it's not equality of, you know, opportunity at this. No, it's equitable distribution. So when you hear that, I hear that it's going to be deployed in places that they can use their control the most, and then slowly be deployed over time in places that they don't quite have the stranglehold they like. But what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. They keep talking about how they have to get the AI and the internet to the third world countries. Why would that be so important? I mean, most of them are trying to figure out how to put food on the table and survive. But it seems like the top initiatives of the UN are to get internet for them and to get vaccines for them. That's what they keep talking about in their white paper documents. So I think that it's because, well, it's really hard to have an AI world society if you don't have everybody in using AI. So,
you know, that also brings us to the Green Initiative, right? We were talking about this before, Earth Day, Biden out there grandstanding, talking about this solar initiative again in the last week. They've started talking more and more about these solar programs that they are utilizing mostly in the third world and the billions they're throwing at them. And now, again, the United States is about to throw another $7 billion out there. And look, just like I was talking about with Adam, I think the technology is a good technology. I would love to utilize solar to empower the general populace. But you and I have grown up in the generation that was promised solar energy decades ago in some kind of a cheap commercial form. And somehow, some way, it's developed at this snail's pace. It's never been put on a consumer level. And lo and behold, our average electric, heating, et cetera, bills have just gone up. And we're not just talking about up, you know, in conjunction with normal inflation. We're talking many times the amount that the generation before us was paying for these same things at spec.
Yeah, no, it's gone up exponentially. And I think that that's intentional. They want to make it so that we can't use other means of energy. Not that the ones they're giving us actually work. I mean, we've seen what happens with the wind power and the windmills, and we saw in Texas what happened with that. So, yeah, it's not a very effective. And when you were talking about equity, it also reminds me of the circular economy that they keep talking about. So this is the part of the 17 sustainable goals that they're trying to get to. And this is where everything is basically you own nothing and you'll be happy. So everything is really, you know, fair and even when you cater to the lowest denominator. Everybody at the bottom has the same. So it's, you know.
And it's so odd to me that these sustainable development goals, obviously they're color coded and they are playing down to like the most common of denominators. They look like little signs that we would see in our towns. And yes. Yeah. Let's start showing them. Everything they put out there is made to look like we're children, and they continually treat us like children. And I feel like at some level, a lot of people have been trained that that's okay, and that these people are our best hope. Why is that? How do we break out of that? I mean, there's been so many broken promises when we are talking about this agenda. And again, Biden talks about a climate crisis. No one's discussing the carbon emissions of all the bombs going off in the Middle East, Ukraine, and Russia, right? It's not even discussed, but we're in a crisis. We have to cut our emissions. You can't cut your emissions when you're bombing people into the ground. And that's not even in the discussion, Courtney.
No, it's not in the discussion at all, because it's a hoax. The whole thing is a hoax. And they do use very colorful graphics and language. I think they're also very deceptive. You know, they couch things. I just did a show. I'll be releasing it tomorrow, about the deception of the love and light, theosophical movement, which is the underpinning of the UN, right? The Lucius Trust is the consultancy for the UN. And so they couch things in this, like, the well-being economy. They're very clever with their marketing. It's always things that sound very nice. They talk about equitable, which, you know, as you mentioned, it's not equality of outcome. It's not equal opportunity. It's equality of outcome. They're managing the outcomes, and, you know, but they have these very clever marketing tactics, which sound really nice, and these bright, colorful graphics. And this is what has been running all of corporate, the supra national corporations now. And I think that that's really just paving the way so that we can get to this dissolution of all the borders, the dissolution of the governments. The corporations will take over before the AI. Because as they said in the AI world society, we won't have human governments. We're going to have AI. And right now we have corporations kind of running things. And what did the corporations do? All of their marketing campaigns come from HR with these very, it's very similar to the UN, with this very colorful kind of childlike graphics and very nice sounding words.
We got to take a break. We're going to hit the headlines. When we come back, I kind of want to talk about that, because you're talking about a global techno-fascist movement where right now it's not really just about profit. It's about command control and then the command over the resources and us as a resource at the end of the day. We'll be back with more TNT Radio Live after this.
TNT Radio News. Bring the news.
5, 4, 3, 2. For TNT, this is James O'Neill. President Joe Biden announced a $7 billion grant initiative for residential solar projects, targeting nearly 1 million households in low-income and disadvantaged communities. At Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut, pro-Palestinian protests on the morning of April 22nd led to the arrest of nearly 50 students. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has declared that the dominance of fossil fuels in global energy is ending, with Germany aiming to generate 80% of its electricity from renewable sources by 2030.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
We are back with Courtney Turner, and it's Earth Day, right? And this is definitely something that was branded towards our generation. I remember when I was a kid, third, fourth grade, learning about it and Mother Earth. And it wasn't really hammered down your throat the way it is today, but it sounded reasonable, right? We want to take care of the planet, hands across America and the world. We don't want to cut down the rainforest. Acid rain is bad. We could continue, right? And then our generation had Captain Planet, and that was openly put out by Ted Turner, who was very much into the climate agenda, global warming, started CNN. That was really the first 24-hour news network, and that hammered that home more and more, you know, but it was a main part of that network. So they've branded these things. And I would argue that now it is almost religious. It is Gaia-based. In fact, sometimes you do hear that term Gaia thrown in there. The United Nations and the World Health Organization, you know, the World Health Organization's Health for Peace, Peace for Health Initiative. It's this montage of what appears to be Mother Earth. And then you have little recycling things on there. Like you said, very colorful, matches in line with the graphics there. It's like Bernaysian propaganda and PR media 101. But in that, a lot of this is based, like you said, in theosophy. So explain to people what theosophy really is and how it's kind of evolved to the point we're seeing now.
So theosophy literally translates to divine wisdom. And the theosophical religion believes that, and it is a religion, I would say it goes all the way back to the ancient mystery schools, but we're seeing it really, I think, ramp up right now, especially because it is kind of what's driving the UN. And it's this idea that through theurgy, which is divine work, that they can become gods. So it's a very Gnostic worldview. And we see this with people like Yuval Noah Harari and Klaus Schwab, where they talk about when they merge with machines, and I mean, they openly say that they will become gods and they will supersede the biblical God, because the biblical God can only create organic life and they can create inorganic life. And so this is very much, it is a Gnostic worldview. And we're seeing now, there's a whole bunch of cults where they're talking about, like, there's people like Barbara Max Hubbard, who's talking about, what does she call it? Cosmo-erotic humanism. There's the World Evolutionary Leaders. And they talk about, it looks very much like the diagram actually looks like the Hegelian dialectic. And if you think about the Hegelian dialectic, it's also a very Gnostic worldview, where he believes that the state equals God. And he actually believes that human beings cannot have any freedom without complete subservience to the state, aka God. And if you look at the diagram, it actually looks like it's Jacob's ladder. They believe that they are taking you through theurgy to become your own God. And when you listen to some of these people, like Robert Mueller, who was the one behind the World Core Curriculum, more commonly known as Common Core, or as Charlotte Isabeau coined it, the communist core, which I think is very accurate. He talked about, he was also very instrumental in the World Parliament of Religion. So theosophy incorporates all, they're very inclusive of religion. Although, Madame Blavatsky, who popularized the New Age movement, she started the Theosophical Society in 1875. She said that the one religion it's very much counter to is Christianity. And she was very much a Luciferian. She worshipped Satan. And so was Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey was one of her disciples. Yes, she did leave the Theosophical Society. That was over discrepancy with Jiddu Krishnamurti, who Annie Besant, who was another member, another founding member of the Theosophical Society, had adopted as her son and decided was going to be the Messiah. He actually rejected it himself. But Alice Bailey they believe that they channel, that they're mediums, and that ascendant masters come and speak to them. This is very relevant because we see in the UN 100 document, they actually have a whole speech where they talk about how this is from the future, and that this is like a message channeled from the future about how they have to have this AI world society. So you can see these themes that are running all throughout. But Alice Bailey started Lucius Trust. It was originally Lucifer Publishing. It was a little too on the nose, and they changed the name to Lucius Truth. But she was she also created Arcane Schools, the Triangle, the World World Goodwill, and they started Festival Week. So this kind of reminded me of that. This is the week of the UN 2.0 Festival Week, right? And they do Festival Week, which is a week of world servers where they unite. It's kind of like a Burning Man for the light workers is what they call it. But it's the light of, I mean, regardless of your worldview, these are people who were Luciferian. They worshipped Lucifer. They believe that's what Lucius Trust is named after. Lucifer is the light bearer. So he was going to illuminate them. So now we
see. And when you say that, a lot of people can be dismissive, but when we talk about a quote unquote new world order, there was no greater champion at the time than George Herbert Walker Bush. And when he would talk about a new world order, he would specifically not only talk about the United Nations and the rule of law, not the rule of the jungle, but then he would talk about 1,000 points of light. And they actually started the 1,000 Points of Light Foundation on top of that through Bush. So Bush was very much a believer in this. He, of course, was a Yale skull and bones man. And when we talk about secret societies and what Luciferianism is, even on its surface, you don't have to believe in it, folks. And there are some people that may practice this and don't actually believe in a quote unquote being called Lucifer. But the idea that you are your own God And basically, that is how you unlock the inner light or your illumination by kind of shedding all your other human skin. In other words, becoming a sociopath, a psychopath in those regards to achieve this goal. And I know that sounds wild, but listen to what they say, read what they do, and then watch their actions. Because as you stated, you know, they've got the branding, they've got the messaging, but at the end of the day, what are they really doing? We've got about a minute left, Courtney. What would you like to leave the audience with, and where can they find your stuff?
I would just like to leave them with to be really cautious of the terms that are coming out. They talk about conscious evolution. That's kind of that we're all one. So that's part of theosophy, is this idea that we are all one, and you know, that we're all connected. It's all part of this, you know, collective consciousness. And so they're talking about conscious evolution, which they believe is going to be done through essentially transhumanism. Of course, the AI world society is part of it. And there's a whole consortium of people. It really does look like it's a cult, but the UN is very instrumental in it. And of course, the World Economic Forum, they partnered together in 2019, you know, together they're driving the ship. But there are a lot of, you know, big, I guess, new age figures that are kind of leading in the entertainment and media sphere. So to kind of popularize this movement. So yeah, you can find me.
Courtney, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you. We got to take a break. When we come back, we've got, Adam M. Riddall with us. We're gonna be talking about domestic terror and more TNT after this.
I'm Cal Fire Battalion Chief Isaac Sanchez. And normally we like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourselves and your family safe during wildfires. But given the historic impacts that the weather has had on our state this year, we would like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourself safe during extreme weather. If you reside in an area susceptible to flooding, please take the necessary steps to prepare to evacuate if advised. Make sure you've identified at least two exit routes out of your neighborhood, as one of them may be blocked or flooded. As the weather develops, remember to check in on vulnerable neighbors and family members. They may need additional time to prepare for evacuation. And just like during a wildfire, if you feel unsafe, please evacuate. You don't have to wait for the order to come. Keep an emergency go bag ready in case you need to evacuate. And always remember to plan for the safety of your pets as well. If you must leave, never drive around roadblocks. It can take as little as 12 inches of water to sweep your vehicle away. And always remember the mantra, turn around, don't drown. Be aware of first responders working in highly impacted areas, especially on the roads. For additional safety tips and updates on CAL FIRE activities, follow us on social media or visit fire.ca.gov.
The challenges our planet's animals are facing sometimes feel a bit heavy.
The animals haven't eaten in a day, 2 days, they haven't drank anything, they're cold, they're dehydrated.
But remember, there's good happening right now. At home.
All right, we were able to get into your unit and we have all four of your cats. So,
okay.
And around the world for any animal, any disaster. Search ifa.org/disaster ready.
You're with Jason Burmis on today's News Talk, TNT.
And we are joined by the CEO of the Liberation Technology Services, Andrew M. Riddall. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. Let's talk tech, because you've been in on the inside of some of these political campaigns, the big tech stuff. Obviously, you've been warning about the massive collusion. We are in a very interesting, if not the most interesting, election year of all time. I've often posited to people that, you know, you want to say that X is a free speech platform, but when I go over and I search Trump, you know, back in 2020, 2016, speeches of Trump, you'd see it all. You don't see, I have to scroll down for, you know, 3-4, you know, pages before I even see the man speaking for himself. Obviously, even there, we have these kind of artificial boosts and shadow bans. Now, a lot of people will say, hey, we've got Truth Social now, but I would also argue we saw what happened to Parler, which was really trying to be nonpartisan. So where are we right now with less than 7 months in the election and calls for even more censorship in a censorship heavy arena?
Yeah, you know, I think we're in such a unique place. And you brought up X. I think it's actually a really interesting kind of situation that's going on that's incredibly underreported. But with the elections that are taking place in Brazil, you know, the party in control is pushing X to ban all opposition narrative. And they're doing this rather openly. It sounds a little bit like what we may be experiencing here in the United States. But, you know, ultimately, that's kind of why we started Liberation, because we deal with the infrastructure, the cloud. And you see companies like Parler, like Truth, like X, they're still sitting most of the time on platforms like Amazon and Google. And so they are still beholden to the rules and the terms that, you know, those big tech companies still lay out, you know, no matter what they try to guarantee as far as free speech and transparency. You know, if they're on these platforms, you know, their hands are tied.
And so let's talk about that, because to me, that's the most insane thing. Google in particular, right? You look at Google, and sure, I can pay for Google ads, but guess what? If they don't like my politics, number one, they don't have to take my money, or they could just shadow ban or put those ads wherever. Clearly, that's not free market. Yet I can't sue them because they're protected, because they're a platform. So they're allowed to censor me, kind of like what you just saw, the new CEO of NPR on that Atlantic Council clip. I'm sure you saw it. First Amendment is the largest obstacle that we have. And then so I'm really glad the social media companies have it, though, and can ban you. And I think to myself, well, that's not First Amendment. That's authoritarianism. That's clearly techno-fascism. It's plausible deniability circles. So you have somebody from either a government agency or some NGO that works with a government agency saying, this is misinformation, this is a disinformation, we're going to ask the platform to take it down. The platform has a cozy relationship. They take it down. They say, hey, we're covered. They told us to take it down. It was bad misinformation. And nobody can get in trouble. Nobody gets sued. Then Missouri versus Biden happens, and this is actually a great ruling by the state Supreme Court. It says, well, not so fast. This is clear collusion between the government and X. And what happens? Our federal Supreme Court steps in, says, yeah, thanks for the advice, guys. We're gonna freeze this one. We're not gonna tell you when we're actually going to look at it, and we'll find out later on. So that ruling is put by the wayside. I mean, we're in, I would say, treason land at this point. I mean, you also pointed out Amazon. If you want to be on these services, a lot of times you need servers like that. Or, you know, we could get into payment processing, PayPal. All these people, all these companies, if you will, have banned people for political speech, hands down.
Well, and that's because they use terms like offensive language, misinformation, you know, all of these things that there's not a definition that you can look at and say, well, this is clearly, you know, racist, right? You know, you can look, racism has a clear defined term. Misinformation, that's up to the person making the judgment, right? It's pure bias. There is no right or wrong. You know, they've created a system for that exact point. So as you were saying, you know, it's exactly that. You know, they've created a system where no one can actually be held accountable. No one actually is holding responsibility. You know, the buck just kind of keeps going around in a circle. And it's terrifying because you look back through history, right? And you look at Nazi Germany in the early 30s when, you know, the narrative was just one-sided. It was all Adolf Hitler, and there wasn't any sort of dissenting views, right? You know, what if someone would have stood up and said, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this to an entire sect of our population? We wouldn't have had the Holocaust. But because there was no, you know, alternative misinformation, you know, we ended up with one of the worst, you know, atrocities in human history. And unfortunately, that's kind of the same path that we are on here, where, you know, if anything that is dissenting or I guess really outside of this ideological box of those in Silicon Valley, you know, if it's suppressed, it creates a dangerous echo chamber. And unfortunately, you know, conservatives, Christians, we've just kind of sat idly by and just accepted the fact that we're okay with using AWS and Google and all these big companies that are stealing our money, are stealing our information, making billions of dollars off of us, and then silencing us if they don't like what we're saying.
So I'm going to challenge you a little bit on this, because I'd say this, misinformation, right? I think that they realize that, yes, you can kind of go against that grain. In other words, if you can prove something's true, that doesn't hold up with misinformation sometimes. So they created malinformation. I mean, that's literally been in their terms of services now, I think 3 to 5 years, I'd have to go back. But malinformation, if you look at the specific definition, can be provably true. In other words, can be real, but it hurts the narrative that they're trying to put forth. Talk about dangerous. And then you mentioned Google. So let's talk about Google, because just because something is traded on the NASDAQ or on Wall Street, et cetera, doesn't mean it's a private company to me. Number one, it has massive contracts with the NSA, NASA in quantum computing, artificial intelligence, two huge arenas that are military industrial complex arenas. Let's not fake that. Then they are the number one search engine in the world. Okay. Chrome is the number one browser in the world. Chromebooks have an operating system based in that. That combined with Android is the number one operating system on the most devices in the world. They have the number two search engine in the world, which is YouTube. It also happens to be the number one video platform in the world. And I haven't named a dozen other shell companies that they have. How is that a private company? And especially built into that, the inability of you to sue them for censoring you. I would posit to you, how do we get that across to people? And then how do we break that up? We haven't broken up anything really of significance since Ma Bell. And this is way more significant in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that realistically, it's not, is it a private company or not? Really, it's, is this a fourth division of the government, a fourth branch of the government that has all the protections of the government, can make an immense amount of money? And but going back to your point, you know, we've given our information, we've, you know, just bought into everything that, you know, these massive platforms offer. You know, there are ways that, you know, us, the everyday American, we still live in a capitalistic society. If we start putting our dollars elsewhere, now you might not be able to replace everything all at once, but if you start making a transition, you know, we offer some services that Google's offers. You know, there are many other companies kind of on this same track that offer, you know, other comparable services. So over time, you can actually start replacing your day-to-day habits and your day-to-day spin. And slowly, you know, if 100 million Americans make that active, conscious decision, we can really wake up the folks at Google, because all of a sudden they will see their profits start to drop. And I think they at that point would really have to reconsider some of these, you know, woke policies. Look at Bud Light. They last year had to do a massive backstep because some of the woke ideology that they pushed. You know, I think it's incredible to see, you know, what Google's AI has already come out with. You know, if you start asking it to quote, you know, something from a Ted Cruz Republican senator, it'll say, oh, we can't do that. If you ask for it to quote Jill Biden, it'll give you the quotes all day. There's clear and evident bias in this. And unless we start taking action, you know, we can't rely on our government to actually do anything.
I got to tell you, I want to believe, you know, because you mentioned Bud Light. Here's my problem. I used to run a bar. Bud Light, the number of college town. Number one beer by far. I can't even tell you how many kegs I'd order for like a St. Patrick's Day weekend, okay? As soon as I saw what they did, I said, okay, they'll take a big hit here. But you watch, give it 6 months, 12 months. Their marketing team isn't going to lose it. They'll sideline it for a second, big comeback. Where do I see? I mean, you got Shane Gillis doing ads for it. The UFC is back on board. Kid Rock's cage side. He's not machine gunning it anymore. And maybe they took a little financial hit. Did they learn their lesson? I doubt it. Look at Google. I mean, again, we named all those things they were. You mentioned their chatbot. Their AI generation tool was legitimately insane. Now, before that came out, I posited, I actually did a video on this. I'm a big Photoshop guy. I've been doing my own thumbnails forever. You know, I went to school for computer graphics. I was a print designer in the, you know, early 2000s, all that stuff. So when I was playing with the AI and I was trying to get pictures of construction workers, all of a sudden I started noticing, okay, we got a lot of women of color in the, so I did a whole video of how you, and you couldn't be race specific, by the way, as you would do these things, because it will ban you. You can't do military ads. And I'm like, this is awful. You know, obviously the tool can still be used in certain points, but look at the censorship on it. And it was about 2-3 months later, we saw that from Google. So we already know that the AI is garbage in and garbage out. In other words, it's not true AI. There's no regulation on that, except for what the government's telling us they want to do with it. I'm not sure if you remember, but we're probably about 5-6 months ago, you had that closed door hearing with all 100 senators, Sergey Brin, Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, Gates, and a slew of others. Altman was there. No media coverage. You know, I don't want those closed door meetings. I'd like to know what's being discussed, because if we have regulated AI for the masses, right? And you're talking about kind of different brands. You talked about Google's product being horrible. A lot of people like Grok comparatively to ChatGPT. I'd say that they're all pretty imperfect at this point. But if you do get regulation on that, that gives the government just so much more power than the average individual citizen. And it's almost like you won't be able to break through. So what are your thoughts on kind of this move towards regulation, not just in this country, but you know, the United Nations, they're talking about UN 2.0, and they can't wait to pass these resolutions led by the United States, by the way.
Yeah, you know, I think the first and foremost, what we have to remember is this AI is man-made. It is completely built in with the human biases of the developers. It, you know, we're not talking about iRobot here. Granted, I do think there needs to be some regulation, so we can't get to that point where it can create, you know, a kind of self-governing self. But these AIs, you know, there's some guy in Silicon Valley that never has experienced a hardship or diversity in his life that is teaching this machine to spit out the answers that they want, right? And that is one of the biggest things that we have to keep in the back of our mind. This is just another tool that a man has created. And so I do think that to a degree, there needs to be, you know, some regulation, but I also think that there needs to be competition in the market and not just competition within Silicon Valley. You know, there is a lot of money on the conservative side. You know, we need to see if Peter Thiel start to put his money behind a conservative AI or something like that. But it's really about getting it out of Silicon Valley, you know, teaching it just the basics, putting information in that is unbiased and going from there. You know, I think that AI could be a great tool in the right hands, built by the right people. But right now, I think that they're not being built and managed by the right folks.
Well, I'll say this. They're definitely not being managed by the right folks. Anybody wants to see it, go watch the Amecabot, A-M-E-C-A, and the Christmas message or New Year's message last year run by AI on ITV4. It was horrendous. I hate them all. I'm definitely no conservative or liberal. And people like Peter Thiel, Palantir, Bilderberg steering member across from ex-Google, Eric Schmidt, that's worrisome to me as well. He certainly didn't have Trump's back when it came down to the nitty-gritty in 2020. So I think there's a lot out there. You know, I want to see some new individuals come up and shake up the system. You know, it wasn't so long ago that it was Google putting out Google Video to compete and then eventually absorb something like YouTube that was a real startup and was utilized by some college kids, et cetera. You know, when I look at Facebook, you mentioned Peter Thiel. I mean, Peter Thiel, Sean Parker got in there, made it kind of the Leviathan that it is. And look at it now. I mean, are we going to act like Facebook isn't a massive censorship program along with Instagram? Which they absorbed?
And I think they, you know, we have to also remember a lot of these platforms really just were initially built to connect people and grow society and share ideas. But then you get those bad actors and you start to see this massive shift, right? Facebook 10, 15 years ago was not a big censorship thing. But I think that, you know, those individuals at the top, but also in the day-to-day kind of operations really corrupt some really quality things. You know, you start to look at the Musk file or the Twitter files and everything that it exposed. It wasn't just Jack Dorsey at the top.
Thank you.
You know, in fact, it was oftentimes without Jack's knowing, But it was the lawyers, the managers, you know, all these kind of mid to high level staff, you know, they are coming from this place of entitlement, of, you know, absolute nurture, that they don't understand, I think, a lot of the realities of the world. And so they put this kind of, you know, God complex into the platforms that they work at. And that is, I think, something that we need to do. I think that, you know, you start by changing education, stop indoctrinating these kids that then go out and work at these big technology companies. You know, I think there's a lot of things that need to be done, but in reality, we need to stop coddling the system and, you know, holding people accountable.
Well, I think not only accountable, but criminally accountable, something that we really haven't seen on that level for decades. I don't know if we're going to get there. I think it's going to be a bumpy road to 2024.
Rip up Section 230. Let's get it done.
Thank you. First step, and then we can get the lawsuits and maybe some criminal accountability. I'm not promising anything, but that's a first step. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. Great conversation. Liberation Technology Services, folks, check it out. We got to take a break. We're going to be coming up in the second hour. More on everything. I mean, AI, the UN, you name it. You're not going to want to miss it. More TNT after this.